This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This day we are going to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacle, and Dr. Wyatt will share how Jesus himself will confront the entire multitude with just who he really is.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from the 7th chapter of John's Gospel. As all Jerusalem will encounter one of whom it is said, "No one spoke like this man." I do hope you will stay with us.
On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man."
Thank you, Sharon, so much. I am truly enthralled by any and all honest, in-depth studies of Jesus Christ. For the subject is inexhaustible and timeless. For it is the greatest life ever lived, and for the greatest purpose. I know such a statement in some quarters brands me either as unlearned or simply duped by Christian propaganda. Yet, as Dr. Harry Ironside related years ago, he never met a critic of the faith who had ever read one serious book on Christian evidence. The real truth is that most who reject, who are so harshly critical of Christianity, have no idea of what they are rejecting. Even in the rarefied atmosphere of Oxford, C.S. Lewis found his opponents in his numerous debates, as he put it, bottomless pits of ignorance of the faith they supposedly rejected. The world would reject what they think they know, yet have never taken the time to even vaguely understand him. They make their decisions concerning our faith on popular misconceptions. The truth is, Christianity is centered upon a single figure with considerable political and religious savvy, a gifted storyteller with a keen eye for profound symbolic acts. Yet far more, he has the gift to multiply loaves of bread, cleanse lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, and then he has the audacity to purport to forgive sins. It comes down to a simple question: just who is this Jesus? The offered explanations by skeptics, academics, even purported Christian scholars that he is one of the great moral teachers, even perhaps a prophet, or more perhaps one especially chosen and anointed to bring a singular message of God's love and grace. Such concepts are totally insufficient to explain the testimony of our New Testament. All such propositions are anemic portrayals that might be acceptable to those who desire anything other than what our Gospels and the Epistles present us with. So for them, our Scriptures must be reworked, demythologized, totally reinterpreted, so as to make it relevant, as they put it, more acceptable. Yet what they leave us with is a message devoid of power and which cannot change the heart of anyone. What is the truth? What is the portrayal of our New Testament? Is of a man who astonished the multitudes, stilled their objections, confounded all his detractors, and who displayed such power and authority over every disease, and would then let all know by word and deed just who and what he was, and what was to be his ministry and purpose in Israel, if they were willing to hear it. As the great Feast of Tabernacles comes to its conclusion, as the purpose of his ministry also begins to build to a climax, he is teaching in the vast temple precinct in Jerusalem. He has appeared suddenly in the midst of this festival, confounding all, including his brothers, who as yet did not believe in him. And his teaching continued to confound all, for as some said, he has learning, but has never studied. That is, he has not studied at the feet of their teachers in the manner they prescribed. But as Jesus will respond, my teaching is not mine, but he who sent me. And if you do the will of God, you will then know whether my teaching is of God. Try it. Really endeavor to do the will of God, and you will then know. His message resonates. There are those who say, is this not the man they seek to kill? Yet here he speaks openly, and they say nothing. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? They would have him arrested, but as John comments, they would not lay hands on him, for his time had not come. Instead, still more people believed on him. For as they say, when the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man does? Jesus also fully knows of the plots and what is to come, but reveals little concern. He knows that his life, and yes, death, is not determined by priest or Pharisee, but by his heavenly Father. It is then to this endless manipulation and plotting by these authorities that Jesus now speaks, openly and honestly. I shall be with you a little longer. It is a warning and yet a challenge. The plot, the efforts of the leaders of this nation to seize him and on some pretext to rid themselves of this troublesome Galilean will eventually succeed. But that we will learn is in God's sovereign purpose. Now, however, Jesus is calling for a change of heart. I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. This mystifies the leaders, for they have not been really listening. He speaks of an awakening, an awareness that will not come to them. Later in this discourse, he will declare, I am from above. You are of the world. You will die in your sins unless you believe I am he. And when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. It is apparent they either do not comprehend or don't wish to. They think in the natural that Jesus may travel to the Jewish diaspora, far from Judea, speaking even to the pagan Greeks. But then they dismiss this as all too fantastic. The irony is that is exactly what the apostolic church will do. But now on the final day of this great festival, with the temple filled to capacity, Jesus stands up before the thousands of pilgrims, stands so that all can see him, and then proclaims for all to hear, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Jesus has taken the symbolism of the water used during this feast to highlight the new life that he would provide. For 7 days during this festival, a priest has led a joyous procession, each morning with a golden pitcher filled with water, up to the temple from the Pool of Siloam, where it was poured over the altar. The symbolism hearkened as well to the water that miraculously was provided by the rock in the wilderness sojourn of Israel. This, the living water, ever flowing, ever pure from the rock, was to make pure all it overflowed, as from the golden pitcher to cleanse the altar, and as well to cleanse the people. But Jesus now declares that those who are parched, thirsty for answers, for meaning, for the things of God, can now be satisfied by partaking their fill of Him. And he who believes, out of their hearts shall flow rivers of water. As he had with the woman of Samaria, he speaks of partaking of Him, that of Him is the living water, of which you shall never thirst again. There was a great positive response in the Samaritan village. Here it is a mixed response. John comments that Jesus is speaking of the coming outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which waits but the glorification of the risen Christ. This all to aid the understanding of early readers. But this is a call, a challenge, that before them is the source, the true spiritual drink. And it has an effect. The crowd begins to mutter about this Jesus, and the chief priests and Pharisees hear it and send the guards to arrest Jesus. All as the crowd continues to debate over this Jesus. This is the Christ, some say. Others complain, asserting, is the Christ to come from Galilee? There was, as John says, a division among the people. As some assert that the Christ is to be a descendant of David and come from Bethlehem. It is again an example of John's way of showing how the opponents of Jesus, in attempting to disqualify him as the Christ, ironically are, in their ignorance of the fact, actually reaffirming his qualifications as Messiah. It is again the clear, unmistakable indication that our author knows the other gospel narratives. It is in fact the obstinate, blind refusal of the religious elite to see in this man the reality of his works, his ministry, and his obvious heavenly anointing. It is what Jesus has referred to earlier. I did one deed, and you all marveled at it. Yet you are angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. I have abbreviated what our Lord said to highlight what he did say to the Pharisees and high priest, as well as all who might hear. They were caught in their own preconceived notions, their own expectations, their own comforts and hopes, and so are too many today. Academia seeks a Jesus that is comfortable to them and would serve their own agendas, whatever it might be. Perhaps the sale of their new critical appraisal of form criticism, or their new view of the Jesus in his Palestinian background, or it is a new presentation with a digital overhead projector of a Jesus of positive self-image, a new 7 PowerPoint projection of the effective spiritual leader, or of a Jesus that only provides and wants the best and brightest for you and your family, if you think and do as they prescribed. All of these may be well and good, even outstanding in their place, but it is still not what our New Testament has confronted us with, nor what the Apostolic Church proclaimed. Sadly, we have frittered away, squandered too many opportunities, and failed too often to appropriate what Jesus means by the living water, the light of the world, the power and authority that we do have in our lives in Him. Abiding in Him is our heritage. A life in His Spirit is to be the mark of a Christian. The guards are sent to arrest Him, but upon returning, the priests and Pharisees are puzzled and ask, why did you not bring him? The officers respond honestly and with far more insight than these religious leaders. No man ever spoke like this man. Their response is again dismissed. Are you led astray, you also? None of we the authorities, believe in him. The crowd, they know nothing and are accursed. When Nicodemus very reasonably will try to ask an honest question, they too will dismiss him. Search Scripture, they say, and you will see no prophet is to rise from Galilee, which only reveals their own ignorance. Galilee had produced a number of prophets, and Nicodemus would just have them listen a bit. Yet all such disputes, arguments, and misinformation miss the point. No man spoke like this man. No one can do these signs you are doing unless God is with him. Many believed in his name, for they could see the signs he was doing. And later a man born blind will in his astonishment declare to those that dismiss his healing, "Why, this is a marvel. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The leaders, you see, would reject it all. And further, they all the more seek his death. Their perceived threat, their anger and hostility overwhelms all else. This too remains true. My senior sermon in seminary made our modernistic theology professor very angry. Thankfully, I was not taking his course at the time, or I would have surely been flunked. The world does not want to hear the full gospel, the truth that no man was ever like this man, that his life, ministry, and oh yes, his death and resurrection are not only true, but have deep, irreversible effects and consequences upon all of our lives, positively or negatively. The world doesn't want to hear such. They prefer the anemic, inoffensive moral teacher that can be tucked away as a historical oddity like Plato or Aquinas, but not the Son of God, the Christ. For indeed, there is no man like him. No man spoke like this man. O Lord, let us indeed, if we learn nothing else, that this Jesus is unique, a singular life that has brought life, that has brought the living water, the light to this world, and is indeed our only hope. Make this reality true. Give us the voice and the strength, all of us, to proclaim this truth and proclaim his word, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven, all for your glory. Amen and amen.
Our Lord was not hesitant about any part of his ministry and the need for people to respond to his call. The condition of our world is a direct reflection on how foolish it has been to reject the bread of life, the living water, the way, the truth, and life. Indeed, no man spoke like this man. And this is the title of Dr. Wyatt's book that is being offered to you this week. So when you do write, ask for this study on the amazing and incredible life and ministry of Jesus. Ask for No Man Spoke Like This Man. It is yours at no charge. We pray you have been touched by the Wings of Healing broadcast, and that even in these financially challenging times, you would consider being a part of this outreach by supporting this ministry. A gift, large or small, is always appreciated. Join with us in getting the Word of God out to a world that very much needs to hear it. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Truly, one can wish they could have been there to see, hear, and experience it all. Instead, we have our Bible, and testimonies like this from Lily of New York City, who writes, "One day I was coughing and couldn't stop. It was really scary, for I couldn't catch my breath. All I could was pray in my mind. When I did, it stopped. It was like God touched me." It is such moments as that that reaffirm our faith. If you have any needs, please do write. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now a new rendition of Crown Him with Many Crowns by Travis Cottrell. So until next week, keep praising the Lord.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering for this week his book, No Man Spoke Like This Man. Here is a readable and uplifting study on just how amazing is our Lord and Savior. So do write and ask for No Man Spoke Like This Man. It is yours at no charge. All you need to do is write or contact us on the web. Our address is our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.